Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. It's Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We're so blessed that you're joining us. In this day and time of COVID, you know, many businesses, they are struggling. Small, medium, large corporations, they're all facing unprecedented pressures and situations. Many have never planned for these things. They're currently experiencing things that they just could not project when they started. You may be one of these businesses that's adversely impacted. Well, if that's the case, today's program is especially for you. Our guest today helps C-level executives to make their businesses better, more profitable, and more efficient. The information you'll hear today can also be applied to just about any level of business. Maybe not directly, but at least indirectly. The information is applicable, actionable, and in this environment, very needful. Angel Rubio is a business consultant, an international CEO, a philanthropist, and the founder of the CEO Confidant, an organization that helps C-level executives to become more aware of the implications of their business decisions and their decision-making processes. Help me welcome to the program, Angel Rubio. Angel, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the program today.
Thank you. Thank you, Bob, for allowing me to be here. And obviously, thank you, everyone who's listening. Thank you for taking this time. It's a great time of the year, so I'm super excited to finally get to know you personally over the internet and obviously everybody who's listening to us. Thank you.
Amen. Praise God. Now, the first question I always start off with is this. Other than that brief information I just shared, tell us in your own words, who is Angel Rubio?
Well, thank you. I think that, number one, I consider myself really the conduit of everybody else's greatness. I've been sitting on a similar chair to yours, let's say unplanned, not unwillingly, but unplanned, because I have to say that I discovered one of the talents, one of the gifts that I was given when I was born. And it was through, you know, just a client of mine that asked me, hey, would you start actually conducting conversations? So that's one of the reasons why I actually realized by being obliged, quote unquote, to do that I was really there to be the conduit of the people I was interviewing. That's number one. And number two, I like to say that I'm here to really connect and give connection to the unconnected.
Amen.
To give connection to the unconnected. There's a lot of people in the world that are unconnected. I think that we're talking about, you know, it's December 2020, right? So when I say 2020, it's like, oh my God, you know, I don't want to hear about 2020, but it's 2020 and we've survived, right? We've survived.
Yeah, we are
here.
Praise God. Yeah.
Exactly. We are here, right? And there's a lot of people, I would say that there are more and more and more people who are unconnected than in the beginning of the year. And I think that you and I, we both have a mission. Amen. To make sure that these people that feel unconnected, even if they are not, they feel unconnected or disconnected, we have to reconnect them. We have to connect them with this other, you know, with the people, with their neighbors, with their relatives, with their friends, with whoever is serving coffee in a coffee shop, with whoever is selling groceries at the grocery store.
Amen.
So I like to add those two things. I consider myself then a conduit and someone that connects people that are not connected. And I, using your own words, obviously, I praise to God that I was given this chance when I was born. I really believe that I'm a bit unconventional. I'm just warning you, Bob, okay, the way I think. But I think that we children, we pick our parents.
Yeah.
And actually, I think that our parents then probably they have a few lessons to learn, but also we are given the best parents possible to act upon our mission, the mission that we were sent to this world to do, right?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
And so I've always felt extremely blessed that although I was born in Europe, you know, I was able to do all these, you know, things internationally and become the CEO Confidant, which is my brand. But at the end of the day, what really matters is connecting the unconnected and discovering the wisdom and the greatness that everybody carries inside.
Amen. Praise God. You know, you help a lot of high-level executives in your business. Mm-hmm. And I know this is a challenging area, since many at this level that I've met over the years, they're very guarded on how much they share with others. You know, they have those protection walls up where they don't want to disclose too much because they don't know how it's going to be used eventually against them. So they're very guarded in what they're doing. How have you been able to overcome that type of skepticism on their part and gain their confidence? Because basically it's a close-knit group, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes. I mean, no offense to anybody, okay, about what I'm going to say, but it's a form of fear, Bob.
Yeah,
it is. Fear.
It is.
It's fear. It's fear of the consequences. What can happen? What might happen if I did this or I did that? I lived in corporate America since the 90s up until 2016. Okay, that was me. I was working in corporate America with many different corporations, multi-billion dollars, all of them. And I was there. And I fully understand why. Oh, yeah. I fully understand why this is happening. So, you know, there's, I mean, remember, when we go to school, we start being taught to do things in a certain way, right? So instead of maybe collaborating and working on a project-based environment, we are taught to learn, to follow directions, to study, to memorize. Again, I mean, I have nothing against the school system. I mean, my mom is a teacher still in Spain. You know, my sister is a teacher. I have nieces who are teachers. I'm surrounded by teachers. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that, you know, when we get into corporate world, in reality is that it's kind of an isolated, secluded world. It is what it is. Every single corporation is there because they are able to benefit, you know, thousands or hundreds of thousands or millions of people. I mean, that's the reality.
Right. Exactly.
People are getting their value, mm-hmm. either as products or services, they are getting their value. But in order to reach that point, they become more and more and more and more jealous about what they have developed. And again, to be honest, I don't think that we can blame them. And again, I'm not talking business right now. I'm just talking about human being to human being, Bob.
Right, exactly. Human
and talking to the human beings that are listening to us right now.
Amen.
I mean, they have developed this. But can you tell me who taught them to become real collaborators? And I'm not saying they're good collaborators. I'm just saying, if they're not sharing something, it's because they are fearful of something. They're fearful of the impact of the consequences of sharing maybe something. And I always use the same story. It took to me, literally, let me use an example, a comparison here. It took to me probably 1 or 2 years to be by myself in the desert when I left corporate America until I really figured out what I had to do, like from a practical perspective. So my mind, my working mind, my business mind, all of myself had been wired to work in corporate America, following specific structures, following specific orders, following specific criteria. And I had a budget and I was running certain territories and geographies and continents. But at the same time, I never realized that outside that corporate world, there was another world of people like you and me, individuals, entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, self-employed people, that they benefit others every single time. And I immediately realized that, oh my God. So I thought that the world was like this. I had this cookie cutter, right?
Yeah,
I
exactly.
thought that the world was like this, but in reality, I'm seeing this completely different thing here.
Yeah.
I thought, oh my God, if I had those resources, if I now had the resources that I had before in corporate America, what could I do to benefit those hundreds of thousands of millions of people? Oh my God, how much money and effort I actually wasted, with all the respect to my former employers, right?
Yep.
Wasted on things that were not really benefiting the world. Mm-hmm. Not even benefiting the final audience of my former employers. You know what I mean? So I realized that there's those two worlds. So when you realize that you live in separate worlds, then you understand immediately why you might be fearful. And obviously you are at the top of the organization. And obviously you are reporting to a board.
Right.
You are reporting to a board. So you have to actually, you know, it's like going to the principal's office, Bob. It's the exact same thing. You go to the board and you present them your results. And you get the thumb up or the thumb down or maybe the thumb in the middle, right? But that's what you do. You are the CEO. You hold on your shoulders all that, you know, pressure,
yeah,
all that responsibility. So again, how do I deal with that? Well, I deal with, okay, so I fully understand that, you know, it is what's happening to you, but I always like to bring this to a personal human being level.
Amen.
You know, when you are able to, you know, have them, those business leaders realize that at the end of the day, they're human beings and they have relatives and they have kids that they love, yeah, you know, to death. Yeah. And they have their moms and their dads that they wish they had spent more time with. At the end of the day, they're the same human beings as you and I.
Amen.
They have the same greatness inside of them. They have been blessed, obviously, because they have reached that top of the, you know, top of the pedestal, right?
Right.
Top of the pyramid, however you want to call it. They have a large responsibility. So how can I possibly judge them, right? How can I possibly judge them? You know, you know, if I know everything that's going on in the world, mm-hmm, right? And right now, with everything that's happening in the world right now, again, it's 2020, man. I mean, you know, you and I both know what's going on. Regardless of where in the aisle, side of the aisle you are, it doesn't matter from a religious perspective, from a, you know, political perspective, from a mask perspective, from a vaccine perspective, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all about division.
Yeah.
No, I really believe that the future of the corporate world and the future of humanity is being more united than ever before. And we have had an incredible way to see this during this year. How many relationships have we broken? How many people have we stopped talking to because of their isolation opinions, because of their beliefs? Mm-hmm. And needless to say, you just mentioned it, the isolation. Exactly. Needless to say, the physical isolation. We just become, I mean, what an incredible boost in the immune system is to go with 300 more people to the same room on a Sunday at noon, you know,
amen,
to praise God. You tell me, amen. What about the excitement? I'm having chills, I'm telling you, Bob. Yeah. I'm having chills right now. You know, that's why it's our nature. Our nature is to be together.
With people. So we're social animals.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So that's how I do. That's how I do it. And that's the kind of, you know, conversations and reflections I have with high-level executives.
Amen. Amen. Do most of these executives come to you for help in increasing sales or increasing the performance of their staff or other things? Can you give some examples?
Yeah. As I had done mostly throughout my career, I had done a lot of what is called business development, which means basically, you know, sales. So how can we actually increase the value that we put into the market so that it can be consumed by our audience, our potential clients, right? Mm-hmm. So and there's many ways to do that. It's like basically like generating new clients with them, so for their companies. Or it can be like creating alliances and partnerships with other companies that can help them go to the market. It can be building distribution channels, which is called indirect sales models, which means instead of going directly to sell to your clients, you go through other, you know, other possibilities. I can, you know, so developing business means different things for different companies, depending on the products and depending on the services that they are offering. So that's one thing. The second thing is definitely, it's marketing. I think that I have been blessed with being allowed to understand what people need through listening. It's so funny that I have ended up, I mean, I'm not nearly close to your 3,000 plus interviews, Bob. You know, but it's funny how being asking questions is such a powerful place to be in order to understand what really life is about.
Oh, yeah.
What really life is about. And I think that I have been, you know, I have been blessed with being able to listen and to ask a lot of questions. And that, I think that's why I have become, and probably you have this skill too, and maybe you don't know how good you are in this, but when you listen to so many people, you become very good in marketing, mm-hmm, because you know how to reach out to people, because you listen to so much to people that you know how to reach out to them. Yeah. And I really love it. I have to say that I really love everything which is related to exposure, And just to give you a very specific example, I ended up, I finished my corporate career in 2016. And I had, and then my sweet spot, the place to be for me to find new clients was LinkedIn. Okay, LinkedIn, okay. The network, the social network, LinkedIn, yep. The professional network, where people typically go to find a job, right? Mm-hmm. I said, okay, so I want to find there my new clients and my partners and my collaborators. I'm going to go work on LinkedIn every single day, okay? Mm-hmm. So I started making a lot of mistakes, but I went from 800 people as my connections, and right now today I have probably like 26, almost 27,000 wow. people connected Amen. With me and that yeah. follow me, okay? Mm-hmm. So that's the difference. That's how, but obviously it's not only to have, it's like when you were talking about what's the ethical mode of counting downloads, right? It's the same right. thing.
Yeah.
So exactly. You have to keep this audience engaged, warm. You have to offer them things that they really want. Yep. That's why I like marketing so much. That's why I like marketing so much, because when you go to the market every single day, and every single day I post on LinkedIn about personal things, and about professional things, and about different, you know, different avenues of helping them, helping both my corporate CEOs who I support, or the entrepreneurs, the established entrepreneurs that I also help. It's all about, you know, giving them with the content that might inspire them, you know, might inspire them, so they find something else and they resonate with what I say, you know.
Yeah.
Again, there's two things I've this year when I look all these 2020. From since like probably March, April, there's two things I have posted the most about. Number one, the first subject matter I've posted most about is about building bridges.
Amen.
Building bridges.
Amen.
Building bridges.
Staying connected.
Yep. Exactly. Staying connected. Hey, I know you right now you don't like your neighbor anymore because you know he has had this flag on his back on his front yard for this political position and for this, you know, presidential candidate for so many months. You know, I just don't want to talk to that person anymore, right? But that's building bridges. And the second one is give me a break. Who has not wanted, like, to wake up one day and say, oh, that was just a nightmare, you know? Life is back to normal. We can keep on doing the same thing we were doing. That's it. You know, and actually, I keep on posting about give me a break because I think that even if we are only 2-3 days away from the end of 2020, I think that everybody needs a break, and some of us probably are really enjoying a break. Yeah. But this is really what I really enjoy, and helping my C-level and high-level executives.
Amen. You know, one saying that I've seen you use online and some posts and some videos is the phrase "so what," and I love how you use this to basically snap people into focusing on specifics. Can you give some examples of how you use this?
Yes, I have to say, number one, I started using this when I read a great book called The Baker's Dozen. That's the name of the book. It's basically how highly successful business operators run their companies, and they are fully aware of the financial implications of their business decisions. The book is authored by a gentleman called Neville Joffe. Mm-hmm. And he has 12 principles that I really advise anybody listening to actually buy the book and read the book, The Baker's Dozen by Neville Joffe. And he uses the so what. And it's the same. I mean, we're just talking about this. You know, I have 3,000 downloads on my last episode. So what? Mm-hmm. And I couldn't agree more. You are the Yoda of podcasting, right? Yeah. People call you like this. You are the Yoda of podcasting. Why? Because you have podcasted so much that you really know things that nobody, unless they have done what you have done, will know about, right?
Amen. Yeah.
Exactly. So the really important thing is what you do with that audience.
Yep.
How can you change your audience? How can you inspire your audience? How can you transform the lives of your audience, of the members of your audience, through this, you know, interviews and through this podcast and through these, you know, nuggets that you put out there every single week.
Amen.
That's the reality. How many, you know, before starting this conversation today, we prayed a little bit, right?
We, yep.
You said a great prayer, and you said it. You said it. You know, there's people out there that probably have to hear this,
have to
listen to this conversation that we are having, because it's going to benefit their lives, or it's going to benefit, you know, it's going to benefit maybe their businesses.
Yep.
And so be it. It's true. I always believe that when we interview someone, it's because that person is going to say something that's going to change someone's life forever.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
That's going to happen. That's why we do what we do. And it's the same thing with me. It's the exact same thing with me. I believe that there's always someone listening, and there's always someone who's going to transform their life thanks to that specific statement that we made, that question that you asked me, or that answer that I gave you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amen. You know, to stick with this concept of asking the hard questions, as a junior officer when I was in the military, we had a squadron commander who was notorious for asking the hard questions. And the new lieutenants just hated having to go in front of him to give a briefing or something like that, because they knew he'd find something that they'd forgotten about, you know. But that's a part of your officer development. And I actually learned a lot from him, and I've continued to use it in business over the years, and as a police officer, when I was a supervisor, and even doing, you know, interrogations and things like that, and in the ministry. And it involves asking detailed questions and not just accepting general answers. You know, for example, we had a vehicle that was listed on the status, but we're on a deployment, and it was listed as being down. And next to it, it said expected uptime of 4 hours. And I came on shift, and you know, I'm just looking at the status board. He came in and asked the status of the vehicle. I glanced at the board, said, it says it'll be up in 4 hours. And his response was, 4 hours from when? And it was listed like 3 hours ago. So I called down and found out that it'd be ready in about another 90 minutes or so. So I got back with him and said, they told me it'd be up in about 90 minutes or so. He said, what does 90 minutes or so mean? 90 minutes, 2 hours? You know, what's the estimate? I need to know if I can use this vehicle in a battle plan. So I called back down and said, they told me it'd be ready in 90 minutes. And he said, they said, well, who's they? Who did you talk to? And it's just kept going. And the other officer staff are like, this new lieutenant, he's going to find out. I didn't write down a person. So then I had to call back and find out who I talked to. And this, you know, that was just one example. This was, you know, he asked those specific questions, and he would not accept general answers. He wanted the specific answer. But what I learned was to get as much detail as I could when I seek information, you know, make people give me specifics. And I found that it protected my rear end a lot better, and that I could actually have someone to hold accountable as well. Have you experienced that type of situation in your training and your consulting? You know, maybe where someone was not being specific in the things that they should have been tracking and holding others accountable, things like that?
Yes, totally. And going back to your question, you know, with the so what, right? I mean, mm-hmm. Don't ever take the face value of things. Mm-hmm. Always please scratch the surface and go deep inside. If you know, I think, again, it comes down to education, to be honest. I think that when we are educated, we don't pick the right battles. And that's one of them. We typically, when we are asked questions, typically we tend to stay at this 30,000 feet, you know, of altitude all the time, because it's just how we have been, you know, educated. That's what it is. So when we start having interaction with others, and obviously when you are there risking your life and protecting someone else's life and millions of people's lives, right, that becomes critical, right? It becomes critical. So what exactly? That's what we call in the sales world double checking. Mm. And actually, let me tell you a secret, okay? So I don't know if everybody will like my comparison, but obviously, probably everybody remembers who Saint Thomas was in the Bible and what Saint Thomas did after Jesus Christ died, was crucified, right? So Saint Thomas was famous because he was the one that didn't believe that he actually met personally with Jesus after he was dead. And he actually had to put his own hand on Jesus' wound to believe that he was talking to Jesus. Instead of using, you know, this double checking or so what, throughout my entire sales career, I was always teaching my sales people. I have trained hundreds of people with sales training, always to use the Saint Thomas proof, which is, don't ever believe anything until you yourself have put your hand in the boot of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Ever. Always make sure that you know who you are talking to, and you know all the other things that I was asking them to make sure that they knew, so that we really knew, we really figured out if that potential deal was about to close or was going to close, or we had some control about the deal so that we could eventually put that deal on the forecast, in the sales forecast, and, you know, go to our lieutenant and, yeah, and report that deal as a potential sale for the month or for the quarter, right? So I think that all the time, people try not to answer specific questions, but not because there's some malice there. It's just because we're not trained to do it. We are not trained to ask the right questions.
Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time for today's portion of the interview with Angel Rebo. I hope you're getting a lot of valuable information from this interview. I mean, he's an amazing man of God, and I'm telling you, folks, the tips and information he's sharing with us, this is the same information he shares with C-level CEOs and helping them to improve their businesses, making them more profitable and more efficient. And I'm telling you, if it works for them, it'll work for you at whatever level your business may be at. Now, it'll work for you in life as well. Amen. That's what we're really talking about here, isn't it? Improving your life through Christ. And one of the ways to do that is by improving the relationships around you and improving the lives of those you impact. I mean, that's really what business is all about, isn't it? You provide a service or a product that will improve someone else's life, even just a little bit. And that they are so appreciative, they share some of their income with you. Now, think about it. Something that you may think is so insignificant, let's say table salt. But without it, most foods you prepare would be bland. So a company enters into the business and produces the salt and exchanges it with you. And you are so appreciative because now your cooking tastes so well and everyone loves it. Well, you share your hard-earned money with the company. That's how business works. Anyway, go down into the show notes. Get in touch with Angel Rebo today. I'm telling you, folks, the energy you heard on this interview, all the information he was sharing with us, that's natural energy. That is the same energy he has in a regular conversation. Amen. So get in touch with Angel today, but be sure to come back for the next episode where we will conclude this great interview with the CEO confidant himself, Angel Rebo. Now be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.